Welcome to the Saint Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Our vision is to bring hope to the people of East London, and I'm praying that you would feel so encouraged by this week's talk.
So, I'm just going to share a few thoughts for just a few minutes, really, to draw our service to a close, and then we're going to have a chance to pray. And again, anything we've talked about today, if you're here and you'd like to experience peace, we're going to have a chance to pray for you. Let me start by asking you a question. Have you ever run a marathon? Like a marathon, 20 whatever it is, miles. Just raise a hand if you run a marathon. Wow, that is impressive. You run a marathon? Three. I think we need to pray for you, Busk. Not sure that's entirely... Is it? Oh, wow, okay. Good. I don't normally cross-examine the congregation about their responses. Today, 50,000 people are right now running the most famous marathon in the world, the London Marathon. This year, it's the biggest ever. More runners running, starting off in South London, going on the embankment, ending up on the Mall. They are running right now for lots of causes, for charities close to their heart, for personal reasons, and they will have been training for months and for years. If you've trained for a marathon, you'll know it's quite tough. You have to train for a long time. And I've never run a marathon. I hope I never run a marathon. It just looks awful. I just think it looks really uncomfortable. And praise God for those of you who do. But the closest I've ever come is running a 10K. And I agreed to do it with a bunch of friends for a charity we're involved in, not realizing that I'd actually have to run the 10K. And the day got nearer, and I'd completely forgotten about the race. I hadn't trained, I hadn't got Lycra, I hadn't, you know, any of the things you're meant to do, protein bars, I don't know, whatever it is, Strava, none of that stuff. And instead, the only way I was reminded I was running a 10K was about 2 days before the race. A friend of mine got in touch, texted me, said, "I'm sponsoring you in your 10K run." And I wrote back saying, "What 10K run?" And they said, "Well, you're doing a 10K, your name is on the website." So I rang my friend Charlie, who is a Royal Marine and specializes in running. He once did a thing called the Marathon des Sables. In North Africa, you run, I think, for like a number of days, back-to-back marathons across the Sahara Desert. It's meant to be the hardest race in the world. So I rang him up and I said, "Charlie, I need your help. I'm running a 10K day after tomorrow. What do I do?" And he just laughed. He was like, "You're calling me now. Right, okay." He said, "There's a few bits of advice. Number one, find the comfiest shoes in your cupboard and don't take them off before your race. Just wear them day and night between now and then. Number two, run around the block and time yourself doing 1K. That's your pace. Then just multiply it by 10 and do that consistently and you'll have run 10K. I was like, "Oh, I could do that." Then he said, "Number three, carb load." And I was like, "Now you're talking my love language." He said, "Go and eat as much pasta as you can between now and the race so you've carb loaded." And I was like, "That is my perfect training." And then on the day, he said, "There's only one thing you need to do on the day." He said, "Drink lots of water. As you run around the park on your race at regular intervals, make sure you are hydrating regularly." And sure enough, the day came, and I'm proud to say I made it round. I'm not going to tell you how fast or slow it was, because I'm not proud of it. But I made it round my 10K without falling over. And today, if you watch the news, you'll see people running the London Marathon, and you'll see that they will be met along the way by their friends cheering them on. The route is lined by tens of thousands of people cheering on their friends, but also they will be holding out water bottles to the runners. And you'll see as a runner comes past, they grab a water bottle and they go on, they have a drink of water. And that's because you need water to run a marathon. You need water to get through the day. You'll know that the majority of your body is made up of water. 75% of our brains are made of water. The rest of it, this morning in my case, is coffee. But a significant proportion of us is water. And it only takes 1% loss of our body water for our body to start sending signals to our brain that we are dehydrating and we need to top up that water with a drink. Thirst is a good thing. It indicates that you are in need of refreshing, that your body wants to function well, that you've got a race to run. And your life here on earth is a little bit like a marathon. On your tombstone, there'll be two dates, the date you were born and the date you die. And in between those two dates will be a dash. Our lives are a brief dash in the perspective of eternity. And that dash is like the race that you've been given to run here on earth. And that dash is a marathon, not a sprint. Don't go through your life dehydrated in a spiritual sense. Don't run your race for the days that God has given you without regularly hydrating your soul. And the good news is that the Bible uses over and over again the analogy of water to communicate to us, because it's our most fundamental need. This morning we baptized these kids in water that we set apart. Through the day today, you'll drink water. And all the way through the story of God, God communicates using water. And the good news is this: God has spiritual water for our thirsty souls to drink. Spiritual water we're going to look at today in John's Gospel, chapter 7, and verses 37 to 39. It says this about Jesus. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Jesus is here today. He's present by his Holy Spirit. He's standing on the sidelines of your life today, like that friend on the edge of the marathon, holding out a water bottle. You may never be in this place again. You may have come to church the first time. This is your moment to make a decision. Will you reach out for the water that he offers you, or will you carry on running on the dash of your life? Jesus is inviting us to do three things today. First, to come, to make the decision to divert our dash and to come to receive from him. Jesus says in verse 37, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me." This is for you. This is for everyone. Jesus doesn't say, if you're a Christian, come and receive water of life. If you are baptized, come and see water of life. He says, let anyone. Have a look at that word again, the word anyone. If you translate it in the original Greek, it means anyone. It means you. You're included. He's inviting you. The creator of the universe is calling you to come and receive water from him today. St. Augustine prayed this: "Lord, put salt on my lips that I may thirst for you." Jesus is calling you to come. Jesus has died on a cross to take away our sin, to take away our guilt and shame, to break the power of darkness over our lives, that we wouldn't be imprisoned by our worst nightmares, that we would come alive to the dream God has for your life. Jesus rose from the dead, and he's here today that you might quench the deep thirst of your soul. The theologian Brunner writes of these verses. He says, "Christ himself and all alone offered this sacrifice, and so he can rightly offer his gift to whomever he wants." And we learn from this test that Jesus, simply wanting the gift, thirsting for it, is all that Jesus asks in requirement. In other words, the qualification for receiving the water of life from Jesus is not your own merit, but your thirst. So let me ask you this morning, are you thirsty spiritually? Do you need refreshing spiritually? Are you tired? Do you need the water of life? Come. The second thing Jesus is inviting us to do today is to drink. Verse 37, come to me, Jesus says, and drink. Jesus wants to satisfy the deepest thirst in you. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And increasingly, like we've heard this morning, there is a hunger that our culture can no longer contain for real spiritual satisfaction. There is a change happening in our moment in history that is beginning to be documented. Young people are turning to the water of life in their thousands. People thought religion was irrelevant, that Jesus was an ancient philosophy. No. All around the world today, people are experiencing the reality of the risen Jesus. A shift is happening. Across the most secular cultures today, young and old are turning to Jesus, to the water of life. Take France, one of the most secular countries in the Western world, but something extraordinary is happening in France. Record numbers of people are coming to the water of life to be baptized. The press are covering this at the moment. If you want to Google it, you can find out. But a few weeks ago at Easter, 12,000 young people were baptized in one day in France, breaking all records. The press and the sociologists are like, what is going on? France is meant to be a secular country. There is a turning happening because there is a spiritual thirst deep within us that can't be satisfied by the things of our age. And people know that, and they want the real thing. Let me encourage you today. Jesus is inviting you to come and drink today. Not as a one-off experience. We don't just take one drink at the beginning of the day and then we're done for the day. At the beginning of your marathon, you don't just have a nice bottle of water and then run your race. All the way through life, you're called to live as someone who drinks deeply. God wants to refresh you today. He's designed you to go on being filled with his spiritual water. God says this in Ephesians 5, verse 18. He encourages us to be filled with the Spirit. And the verb used is active and continuous. In other words, it's not a one-off. Go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. So in a sense, church is like a water cooler or a drink fountain or filling station. We gather here on a Sunday and we fill up our spiritual reserves. We make space to pray. So moving hearing Tina's story. I wanted to go and be prayed for by John and Jill. I can't think of anyone better to be prayed for. We love the guys who pray on a Sunday morning here. They're like the filling stations. Come and be filled up. If you need help, don't walk out the door thirsty today. In a moment, we'll have a chance to pray. You don't need to come to front to receive Jesus. You can receive the water of life wherever you are this morning. If you're watching online, don't have to be in the building. The Holy Spirit is with you wherever you are. Then the third thing Jesus is inviting us to do, come, drink, and then overflow. Pour it out. Give your life away. Jesus continues in verse 38, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Your life may be just a dash, but never underestimate what God can do with that blank. God wants to fill your life so that you would have an impact on those around you. Your life can make a difference. You can turn outwards and have a far greater impact on the world than you could ever imagine. On the screen behind me, the Reredos that's been here for almost 100 years, this beautiful gold thing, shows a picture of John the Baptist welcoming Jesus to the Jordan. You can see the Jordan River at the bottom there. And that's where Jesus was baptized. This is what we've been doing this morning. We've been baptizing little children in that same tradition, baptizing in the same way that Jesus came to be baptized in the River Jordan. And that river, you can see at the bottom there, flows into a lake or a sea, an inland sea, which is there in the Holy Land today, called Lake Galilee. And if you go and visit Lake Galilee, it's beautiful, it's teeming with fish, and life and all the miracles of Jesus, miraculous catches of fish, walking on water, happen around Lake Galilee. The Jordan flows into Lake Galilee. But also in the Holy Land, there's another sea called the Dead Sea, which the Jordan also feeds. The Jordan flows into the Dead Sea, but the Dead Sea is completely dead. There are no fish in the Dead Sea. It's the one you can go and you can float because it's so high saturation in salt. You could lie in it and not sink. Now, both seas are fed by the same water source. The key difference is not one of input, it's one of output. The Sea of Galilee has an inflow, but crucially also has an overflow. But the Dead Sea has no outflow. It only receives water, and it doesn't give itself away. And as a result, it is dead. In the same way, God wants you and I to drink deeply of the water of life so that our lives might overflow. In the book of Romans, in Romans 15, verse 13, God says this, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." We're going to pray in just a few seconds. We have a decision to make today. Will you receive the invitation of Jesus to come? Will you drink of the water of the Holy Spirit, the water of life that you receive, each of us in our own way, where we are this morning? And will you commit to overflowing? Because your life has a purpose. God has a plan for your dash. You're not called to run without purpose through your life, but you are called to run the race which God has set before you with purpose, so that one day when you cross the finishing line into eternity, you'll be met by Jesus. He'll say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You ran the race. Come, spend eternity with me." In Jesus' name. Jesus is here. The Holy Spirit is here. He's saying, "Come, drink, overflow."
Thanks for listening to this week's talk. If you'd like to find out more, give or connect with us, visit our website, saint.church. Have a great week, and we'll see you soon.